You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 442. Randall's here as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going good.
And today we're going to talk about Notre Dame. We know where Notre Dame's going to be in the bowl game. They're going to be facing LSU again for the second time in a few years. And we've got the playoff. We know who's in the playoff. We've got some recruiting news to get to. And I think those three or four main topics, kind of everything falls underneath the rest of that. But I guess to get started, let's do some muscle flexes.
Yeah, it was a good week. Well, after the Stanford loss, people weren't too happy with Brandon Wimbush. So if you go on his Twitter page, you can see a lot of the comments under. He had posted a picture, and anyway, some of the comments underneath are just ridiculous. One guy said, "Is it possible for you to even throw a football at your target, dude?" And let me go back to the top. The thing is, his mom actually commented under the picture then. After a while, I'll read her comment then. But
And this is Brandon Wimbush's post?
Yeah. Somebody told him you couldn't hit water if you fell out of a boat. And somebody's telling him not to throw too high. Like, oh yeah, this is going to be great for him. This is definitely going to help him out.
This is great quarterback coaching here. Instagram posts are the place to go.
There was a lot of people that, you know, did show him love, but, you know, some of them work hard this off season, play hard next year, and they're giving him tips, which I'm sure he goes to Instagram to find those tips on what to do next year. Where's his mom? Oh. Then his mom left a long comment. Gotta say, Brandon, love the fight in you. You refuse to back down to these internet posters and their evil hearts and minds. I won't get mad at them anymore because the God I believe in sees all and hears all, and he knows every single one of them, the internet posters, sitting alone at their computers and devices, cowardly thinking of the worst possible things to say because of what you do matters so much to their empty lives.
Ouch.
He sees their every word and knows their every thought. I'm just going to let God write the rest of the story his way because he knows what is best for Brandon Wimbush. Keep on trucking. Brandon Wimbush, your mother.
Here's the thing. I mean, it's fine to criticize and to point out where, hey, this is what broke down, this is what went wrong, this is what needs to be worked on, or this is where another player is better at whatever. But usually that isn't the way it's done on social media. Usually it's more name-calling and trashing than any kind of interesting criticism.
Yeah, and there was people telling him that Book is better than him. So somebody said, "You got blown out," and then somebody replied, "Your mom is blown out, and so is your raggedy ass hair." I don't know why you're posting this stuff. Hmm. But anyways.
Well, let's just briefly talk about this matchup. It is a New Year's Day matchup, so Notre Dame made a New Year's Bowl. New Year's Day Bowl.
What was your initial reaction when you heard that they were in this bowl against LSU?
I was worried that Notre Dame was going to end up playing Iowa State, which had been kind of seemed to be the favorite, and I did not want to play Iowa State. I wanted to play either. I was fine with playing a Big 12 school, but not Iowa State. I mean, give us someone interesting. So I would have been fine with a big-name school from the Big 10 or the Big 12, and I'm very happy to play LSU. I know we just played them a few years ago, but this is going to be a fun matchup. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I got to read. I was looking at a couple more of these. Somebody said, "Please transfer," and somebody else told him, "You suck, that's all I got to say. We want Tommy Turnover back, and even start Montgomery Van Gorder over you. Come on." So, I was excited about this bowl game. I mean, I did not want to play Iowa State. Notre Dame has nothing to gain by that.
That would have been one of the most disappointing teams to play.
Yeah.
Either a bottom tier, a Big 12 school, or I'm trying to think who are some of the bottom, like a Rutgers again. Yeah. They just no.
The other school was possibly Oklahoma State, which that could have been fun to watch.
That would have been fun.
I don't know what Notre Dame would have gained, if they would have gained anything out of that or not. But it wouldn't. I don't think it would have been a good matchup because they would have had to score a lot to keep up with Oklahoma State.
Yeah. I was expecting Notre Dame to be favored in this matchup. Notre Dame, number 14, Notre Dame, both teams are 9-3. LSU's ranked number 17. However, LSU's favored by 2.5 points. The reason that I thought Notre Dame would be favored is looking at who LSU has beaten, and it's not impressive. I guess the Texas A&M win, which was their last game of the season, is maybe their most impressive. They did beat Auburn, but that was middle of the season, and then they beat like an Arkansas, Tennessee, barely beat Syracuse, lost to Troy, barely beat Florida. So,
what week was the Troy game?
Week five.
Okay.
Five or six.
It was later than I thought it was.
I'm not sure if they had a bye game in there or not.
Which I think Troy did win their conference. I mean, they're a good team, but not a Division I team.
Yeah. And I think probably Notre Dame is trending down as far as Notre Dame was not playing as good of football the last month of the season, and LSU at least was winning. They played
good. Alabama, their defense did good against Alabama.
It was 24-10 loss to Alabama, and then they blew out Arkansas and Tennessee, but those are two really bad schools, and they beat Texas A&M at the end of the season, 45-21, so they did have a nice win at the end there.
I have to have a conversation with my brother-in-law. He's an Arkansas fan, and it was his 30th birthday this year. He lives in Arkansas, so his wife took him down to the LSU game.
Oh, no.
So maybe I'll have to ask him how LSU played that game. The only disappointing thing about this is that Notre Dame just played LSU a couple years ago. But it's a big-name school. I mean, if you're going to play a team out of SEC, it sounds better to beat LSU than it does to beat Vanderbilt or...
It
doesn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. A couple years ago, Notre Dame played Florida State in a bowl game and then ended up playing them again
in the regular season.
And same thing with Miami. Played them in a regular season, played them in a bowl game too, a couple years apart. LSU, Notre Dame's not going to play LSU unless it is a bowl game. So I like this better than a school that is going to be on our schedule in 2 years from now or 3 years
from now. But it's surprising how often Notre Dame gets LSU in a bowl game, because even back when Brady Quinn was here.
Yeah, 2006.
The Sugar Bowl. So it's surprising how often Notre Dame has gotten LSU.
Okay.
But this is, which they will be staying at the same place that they stayed at with the Russell Athletic Bowl in 2011, I believe. So there is some, Brian Kelly mentioned his press conference on Sunday, that there is some familiarity as far as, you know, what the team needs to do, getting the team set up where they're staying and stuff, not necessarily the players, but just the staff, everybody at Notre Dame getting ready for this. And they are starting practice this week already. They're practicing Saturday and Sunday. And then Brian Kelly said, after that, next week they do have finals. So they'll get all the distractions out of the way. And then they'll have 1 week of LSU prep here, and then they're planning to have a week down there. But between that, the players go home on the 22nd, and then they have to report at the bowl game on the 26th. They have to be there on the 26th.
And Matt Freeman tweeted out just some clarification. Programs are limited... this is the misconception that programs are limited to 15 practices. It's not the number of practices, it's the 20 hours. So they could have more practices. Notre Dame is going to do the 15 practices, but
and that's more than they have been. Maybe like two. Brian Kelly said he thinks that the most they've had before is like 13. But with getting the practice in this Saturday and Sunday, that adds more. And hey, they need all the practice they can get.
They do. I'm still confident. Maybe I shouldn't say confident. I still think there's a chance that Brandon Wimbush is a different player in 2018.
They talked about the players being tired. Brian Kelly said he wanted to make sure that they weren't physically wore out. It was mentally and emotionally wore out. He said the Monday before the Stanford game, which had been right after Navy, he came in there and he said the guys were looking at him like they were in biology class, just kind of out of it, you know, didn't really comprehend what was going on, and they were obviously mentally tired. And Drew Tranquil mentioned it as well when they talked with him, and I can understand. It's obvious. They looked more like last year's team, and I think that's what happens when they got they're mentally down. They went back to how they played before because they haven't been in this new system long enough and this new strength and conditioning. It started to wear on them, and it's easy to go back to what you were used to for a couple years. And the argument there is if they wouldn't have kept Brian Van Gorder for so long, it wouldn't have been as easy to go back to those old habits. But they had done it for so long that when they did get tired, wore out, they went back to that. And so I
think another year in the strength program will help, but I think there's more to it. Last quarter of the season debacle, I think there's more to it than just the strength and conditioning.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what Brian Kelly wanted to make sure it was not that. But if you do look, it does make sense. I mean, they had to learn the new, maybe it wasn't a new offense or a new defense necessarily. It was supposedly easier, but it's new coaches. It's new ways of doing things. And so it does make sense that they were mentally wore out. And I think it'll get better next year.
And I think the biggest part is knowing what you're playing for.
Yeah.
And
I'm not like
Brian Kelly getting the most out of his players through motivation.
And I know people will say, oh, you're just defending Brian Kelly, blah, blah, blah. But I am and I'm not, because he could have prevented that, like I said, by making the changes earlier, mm-hmm. a year or two earlier, rather than waiting, and he didn't. So, but it does give me hope that things are getting better. Are getting better.
With the change we've seen, there is no, I mean, I think it's foolishness to be asking for a different coach at this point. Because even if the people saying he's never going to get it right, even if you end up being right, with the turnaround that we saw, you have to let this play out a little bit longer.
Yeah. And I expect this bowl game to be more like the first games of the season. I think the players will get rejuvenated. They get to go home. They didn't get, I think they've been at Notre Dame since June or July. They've hardly had any chance to go home like they do some years. Just the way how everything worked out this year, they didn't get those opportunities like they have before. It's been a long time, and I think with this break, this rest, I think they're going to look more like the team we saw in the first half of the season versus the second half.
Well, there's so
much
time.
And this is a very good team, yeah.
I mean, it's a month, basically. Okay. I do want to talk about the final four of the playoff teams. We've got 1 through 4, Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, Alabama. Clemson and Alabama matched up again at 1 and 4, and then 2 and 3, Oklahoma, Georgia. Two SEC schools, but the biggest question and debate has been that number four spot. Did Alabama deserve to get in? Should Ohio State, as a Big Ten champ, and with more quality wins, should they have gotten in? And ESPN showed the strength of schedule side by side before they released what the committee had decided. And Alabama's schedule was bad. No question about it. Ohio State had better wins, had a tougher schedule. But they had two losses.
And they were bad losses.
And they were bad. These are the things you have to consider. I know what is the committee's what are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to get the by their own admission? They said we're supposed to get the four best teams.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that worries me about that is you can have a team that schedules a week a week schedule, and they can be one of the four best teams, and they can blow everyone out. And you can see it on paper, yeah, they're one of the four best teams. I think you kind of encourage weak scheduling when you say that all we're looking for are the four best teams. And that is a concern. I want Georgia to have the balls to go and schedule Notre Dame. Clemson to have the balls to go and schedule Auburn. And then vice versa. Auburn did the same thing as well. Alabama did go and schedule Florida State. And it ended up being a really bad Florida State team. They can't do anything about that. But they also had
Citadel, I believe.
I know they had Mercer.
But here's my... You do get penalized for that. If it is just like that, then UCF would be in the playoffs. They're undefeated. They went 12-0. And they beat
so you think that easily. You think the committee looks at strength of schedule enough?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they got it right. I got so sick and tired last week of... I was so mad watching the football games. Every other comment was about Ohio State, Ohio State, Ohio State. The media's love affair with Ohio State is very disturbing.
I think you oversight. Even Kirk Herbstreit.
The one thing is, Kirk isn't as much, and he's the one that would have an excuse to be since he went to Ohio State.
Yeah.
He's not as much. Everybody.
He said that he thinks that the committee will put in Ohio State, but if he would be choosing, he thinks Alabama is the better team, and he would put Alabama in.
And, okay, so you want to argue with Ohio State, blah, blah, blah. Well, then you got to put USC up there as well. They have two losses. They were their Pac-12 champions.
And they probably
They avenged their one loss to Stanford. No, they beat Stanford twice. The problem is that was, you know, some of their ranked opponents were Stanford being on there twice. It wasn't like a different team. But USC had just as much of a case. We even saw it before, you know, right before the Stanford game when they had the Notre Dame, USC, and Ohio State. USC was better than had a better resume than what Ohio State did, but you don't hear anybody talking about that. It's just, it drives me nuts. I don't know. It's just irritating because they changed the rules for Ohio State last year.
What? No.
Look, I listen to this.
I disagree, Randall.
If they would do what they did last year with Ohio State, they should have put... If Ohio State would have been in the four playoff, Wisconsin should have got in over them. Last year, Ohio State did not play in a championship game, lost to the Big Ten champions, Penn State, and got in over them because of bad losses that Penn State had at the beginning of the year. It was three. That's the one difference. They had two or three instead of two. This year, the only loss Wisconsin had was in the championship game.
I know, but I don't think you can't lose your last game and get in.
I don't think you can. I know. I don't think so either. But well, Alabama did.
No, their last game?
Yeah, they just lost to Auburn.
You're right, that was their last game.
But in the championship game, I think if you'd say in the championship game. But this is not, and people like to talk about the conferences, this is not about getting each of the conferences in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is about the four best teams.
I do like that.
Alabama would beat Ohio State any day of the week.
I don't think any day of the week.
Every day of the week.
I think Ohio State is better than what you give them credit for. They play up and down, and they're inconsistent.
You know what should hurt them as well? They got shut out in the playoffs last year.
No, that should not matter. What happened a year ago should not matter. And the committee pretty much said that too.
I agree it shouldn't, but you know, and it doesn't, obviously, because they're still getting all this credit. It's just, they got the top four right. After that, it doesn't really matter. I thought USC should have been a lot higher, but they got the top four right. I totally agree with that.
I completely agree with the top three, no question. The top four, it's not that I think it's one of the worst mistakes ever to have Alabama in there over Ohio State or Wisconsin. If you
here, my opinion is it didn't really matter who the fourth one is because Clemson's going to beat them.
Well, they're not favored.
I know they're not. I'm shocked, but Clemson is going to beat them, and I think it'll be pretty easily.
I hope so. One thing I was after Notre Dame was out of the playoff. The one thing that I was holding on to that I was hoping for is that Alabama and Ohio State are not included in the playoff.
Yeah.
Because those are two teams, I'm sick of seeing them in the playoff. Their dominance is grinding me. And I'll admit, they're great teams, they have great coaches, but I just don't like them.
The sad thing is the playoffs so far haven't had much variety. How many different teams have actually been in it?
Oklahoma's been in a few years now. Georgia's a new one.
Georgia's a new one.
But
Clemson's
other than that,
been in.
The other three have been in.
Alabama, and it's been Ohio State. That's kind of frustrating, but it'll change. But I do think that with Alabama getting in, this strengthens Notre Dame's case. Last year when Ohio State got in over the Big Ten champion, and they even lost to them. And now it just got even better with Alabama getting in. They played no championship game, and they even lost to the loser of the championship game, and they got in.
I feel pretty strongly, even last year, that a one-loss Notre Dame team, well, not every year, but has a very, very good chance of getting the playoff because of their strength of schedule. And if Notre Dame's only loss would have been Georgia, they would have been in over Ohio. I mean, over Alabama. All the four that made it in did have one loss. And if Notre Dame would have had that one loss only being Georgia, they would have made it in.
Here, one thing I like to see, it was actually a good thing from David Shaw, Stanford's coach. But he was talking about how he wishes the scheduling would be a lot more even across the board. For the Pac-12, they played eight straight conference games. I have to check it because they ended with Notre Dame. But I think they play more conference games than some of the conferences do.
Okay.
And their non-conference schedule is much better. He said it'd be nice if we could, I don't think he mentioned Alabama, but SEC teams in the middle, close to the end of the season, they schedule some no-namer, and it gives them a break.
It does.
And I totally agree with him. It should be the same across the board. They should make some requirements on your scheduling. Yeah, you can't plan ahead years. Like Alabama and Florida State.
Yeah.
But they tried. You know, scheduling Citadel and Mercer.
Those aren't going to be good schools.
That should not be allowed.
I agree with you, Randall. Or if you do want to schedule them, make it a preseason game. Not midway through, but a preseason game. Schedule them, and it just doesn't count.
Well, and they need their out-of-conference games need to be against other
conferences
because we don't know how good they are.
Or Notre Dame.
Yeah, because especially that's why the SEC always seems so good because their non-conference games are against horrible teams. They're doing a little bit better, but they're always all ranked because they just play each other and everybody just assumes that they're good. If they would get out and play, you know.
And it's not the conference's fault. I mean, this is the individual schools because you saw it. Wisconsin did the same thing. They didn't schedule anyone out of conference. And then you saw that Georgia and Auburn both did from the SEC. They had each had good out-of-conference matchups.
But, no, I think they got the top four right. Ohio State shouldn't have even been in the question. They got blown out at home to a bad team. That takes you out.
All right. Let's talk about recruiting. Some bad news hit the wire a few days ago, Randall. Marquise Stepp.
Yeah, it's not as... Marquise Stepp has been like the cornerstone of this recruiting class. That's the biggest blow. I mean, he's been committed for like a year and a half. And four-star running back from Indianapolis, in-state guy. And it seemed like he was recruiting everybody in the staff might as well just have paid him as a staff member.
He could have been the 11th assistant.
Yeah. But he did decommit, and from what I understand, it was mutual. It sounds like it was actually academics.
Oh, okay.
He didn't get some of the requirements done that he needed to get into Notre Dame. And so it's not like something happened, you know, the coaches did something, who knows what. It sounds like he'd want to go to Notre Dame, but he can't, and the two sides decided to...
Is he going to go to another Division I school, or is he thinking of a junior college and trying to get into Notre Dame?
No, he'll go to another school. Right now, if you look at the crystal ball, I mean, it still shows him committed to Notre Dame, but he's warm with, like, Michigan State. But it's hard to tell. Nobody really... He's been committed to Notre Dame for so long... Nobody really
knows.
He's
probably off the radar, these other coaches.
Here's the thing.
Hopefully he goes to the SEC and we'll never have to face him in a regular season game.
He was a very good running back. He's a big guy. He was a bruiser, and Notre Dame needed somebody like that. But he did have some injuries. Last year he sat out most of the year with an injury, and he's kind of had some issues with his hamstring. And so it's... I'm going to say Notre Dame, he would have been a really good back. Or he is a really good running back. I think it was his last game, he basically had the entire other team, all 11 defenders, miss tackles on him in one play. So he's a very good back. But if it was going to happen in a position, this is the best one, because Notre Dame's going to have plenty of depth at running back. I mean, Josh Adams is probably gone, but you got Dexter, McIntosh, Tony Jones, and you got CJ Holmes. You have Smith.
And ever since, are you looking it up?
Yeah.
I was going to say, ever since Archie Denson has been running backs coach at Notre Dame has either converted running backs, CJ Procise from wide receiver. They have been very productive at that position, regardless kind of the physical attributes and type of running back.
Yeah. Jameer Smith, he's going to enroll early. And so there you have another guy. He's going to be here for the spring as well. So it's not in that aspect, it's not a big loss. It is and it isn't. He's a really good player.
It's a big loss, and he's a really quality player.
Yeah.
But as far as a positional need,
it's Notre Dame, and with where they're at with the numbers right now, it always works out. Notre Dame never has too many players, so we just need to, at some point, we just need to stop worrying about that. But it would help Notre Dame a lot more by using his scholarship for another position. And numbers don't seem to matter. We remember how... Notre Dame had, 12 scholarship receivers this year? And look at the scholarship. I mean, look at the wide receiver group.
The production.
Yeah. so maybe they should take away some wide receiver. Anyways, so that was a decommitment. Notre Dame, the coaches have been out on the road. Right after Stanford, they stayed out there. Brian Kelly stayed out there, and they started visiting guys. They visited Chase Cota, wide receiver, Oregon. They've Kyle Gordon, the cornerback. Then some guys already committed. Jack Lamb's committed. They visited Amon-Ra St. Brown, Equanimeous brother, Gordon Porter, Derek Allen, and so they've been visiting a lot of guys, and they send out some new offers as well, and they've been very busy in the last couple of weeks. Some other news as far as decommitments is Houston Griffith, who Notre Dame had been recruiting for a long time already. He's been at Notre Dame multiple times, but ended up committing to Florida State. But he is decommitted from Florida State, and it's very, very likely that he'll end up at Notre Dame.
And are you pretty confident that this is a kid that will stick it out, or will it be something where he won't make a decision until the late signing period?
He's planned to be an early enrollee.
Okay.
So you're going to know he's going to sign December 20. Whatever school he decides on, he's going to sign with on November 20. And nobody else is really in contact with him. I'm sure people are.
December 20th.
December. I'm sure other schools are trying to contact him, but it's very favorable for Notre Dame. And Notre Dame is always making an effort. They're visiting him, and they're visiting his his parents live in, he's from Chicago, but he's down at IMG Academy. And Brian Kelly can visit his parents if it's the same day. So he's visiting him in Florida at IMG, and he's flying back to Chicago to visit his parents. That's the only way you can do that. So obviously he knows they're making an effort, and that would be a big pickup for Notre Dame, cornerback position. So that's their decommitment that's going Notre Dame's way. Florida State is kind of a mess right now with their coach.
I thought it was fake news when Jimbo Fisher was hired as Texas A&M's head coach.
Did you see their quarterback, Francis, whatever his name is, Florida State's quarterback? He tweeted something out and was like, you're not even going to say goodbye. So Jimbo Fisher obviously slunk out during the night and didn't even talk to his players. I don't know. It was a good exit for him. I mean, if you look at it like that, Florida State had a horrible year, and now he can just slink away to a new school and has one of the, I think it's the biggest contract out there right now.
I think it was the biggest payout. Yeah. I think there's other ones that have a higher per year payout coming up, but as far as I think the entirety of it, I think it's the biggest one.
One recruit from a different school had tweeted out, was like, does he have to sit out for a year?
So, I do wonder what happened there. I assumed he would be there for 20 years.
Well, he has ties with Texas A&M.
Yeah, so, but Florida State, I mean, that's a good job.
I know.
I was surprised.
I know. But anyways, but signing period is coming up, December 20th, and Notre Dame, at this point, they have six guys that are committed that are planning to be early enrollees. Jack Lamb, Ovi Ogofu, Bo Barr, George Takis, Jameer Smith, and Micah Jones. And Houston Griffiths, the guy that is planning to enroll early if he would commit to Notre Dame. And then there's other guys. But right now there's six. I love seeing that number seems to keep going up year after year, and I love seeing that.
Get them in the strength program early, have them there for spring ball. Definitely a good thing.
Yeah.
And we've seen the staff is willing to play true freshmen. I mean, if there's a need anyway, if there's not depth there.
Yeah, there was four guys that four recruits that played in state championships this last weekend, and there was two that played in their semifinals. Bo Bauer won semi-state, and he had 14 tackles. He's a linebacker, 14 tackles in that game. And then another game, Justin and Jason, Adam Alola, and Shane Simon are all on the same team. They lost in state. Or at state 44-7.
Ooh.
They played good. Shane Simon actually had an interception that was overturned because of a penalty. So they played good. It wasn't like they played bad, but the other teams that was very good. Phil Dracovic won semi-state 28-7. Crazy thing is he was sick the whole week before. They tested him for mono and Lyme's disease, which I hope he doesn't have Lyme's disease because that stays with you.
Isn't that what... Didn't Malik Zaire have mono when he was a freshman at Notre Dame?
Yeah. Anyways, he was sick the whole week, missed practice, and he supposedly lost 10 pounds.
And he's skinny as it is.
Well, he had bulked up.
Okay.
And he completed 20 of 33 passes for 243 yards, had 13 rushes for 85 yards. So he had a very good game, and they're planning to play in the state championship. And then lineman John Dirksen, they won state 34-11.
Randall, every time you read off an incoming quarterback's high school numbers, you should read off numbers from the current starting quarterback just so people remember that, you know, all these guys are awesome high school players.
Yeah, but he plays good competition. I will say that. He plays good competition, and I think he's accounted for 58 touchdowns this year.
Wow.
But up to a certain point, I mean, Wimbush basically put up the same numbers he did. So I agree. And even Golson. I remember Golson. He was one of the best. He had the most. He almost set a national record for yards, for passing yards in high school.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's always the next quarterback coming in is better. So, anyways, we'll try to keep you updated on recruiting. There's guys playing in the All-American Bowls, but those aren't until January. The Army, Bowl is on January 6th, and the Under Armour is on January 4th, so those won't be till after Notre Dame's bowl game and after the New Year's. So,
well, Notre Dame's banquet is this weekend. And Randall, are you going?
I'm not sure yet.
I'm going to be gone.
So I think the tickets are sold out.
Oh, so you're not going either then. Anyway, we'll probably do another podcast on Monday the 11th. And then the next week, we'll probably wait to do it until Wednesday after the early signing day, which would be the 20th. So we might have a little bit of a different schedule here in 2 weeks. But we'll keep you posted. Just make sure to be subscribed and follow us on Twitter.
We'll throw us out there. Maybe you listened already, but I'd done an interview with Max Redfield. And he actually, in Saturday's game, this weekend's game, he actually dislocated his hip and had to go to the hospital to get put back in place. So I'm pretty sure he's done for the year. They don't know yet if he needs surgery to take care of that or not. But his team did win, and they're playing for the...
sounds painful.
Yeah, they're playing for the championship in their next game. But good interviews, good to talk to him, and just kind of hear his thoughts on how things went at Notre Dame and sitting out, not being able to play last year in the bad year. And he's still waiting. It sounds like he'll get his degree from Notre Dame, but he's still waiting to hear that. And he actually had to take, I didn't realize that, he actually had to go to school somewhere else, get credits, so that he could be a grad transfer. Because he wasn't a grad transfer from Notre Dame, so that's why he didn't play that first year. Had to figure everything out, but they had been in contact with him and helped him get all that. And I'm a little shocked at how severe that was, like, from Notre Dame's side.
You mean the kind of their punishment, the way they...
Not letting him get his degree.
Yeah. Not letting him finish out the school year and get his degree, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree.
So he wasn't even allowed on campus. He was banned from campus. So, but he did talk about that a little bit, and he takes full responsibility for his mistakes. And
of course, I'm disappointed how it all ended up. As a fan, I'm disappointed, and he's devastated. I do hope. I mean, I would be cheering for him and rooting for him if he would make it to the next level. You know, if he'd get a. He would be able to make it in the NFL.
He's going to get a chance.
I think every too, athletically,
there has been a player from every NFL team at his games at the IU, Pennsylvania, to see him play. So he's going to get an opportunity. Maybe he won't get drafted, but he's waiting for an invite for the NFL Combine. But he's going to get an opportunity with the team. He has the skills, and he said every game, I think he even mentioned how often a game, like, he hears stuff from the opposing players about him being former Notre Dame and calling him a criminal and dropout and on and on and on. He hears it every game.
I'm sure he's ready to prove all those guys, I don't know, just kind of throw in their face if he'd get the opportunity.
Yeah. So, anyways, check that out. It was this last week.
You know, I mean... Irish Don will probably hit me for saying this, but if Matthias Farley can make it in the NFL, I'm pretty sure Max Redfield can too.
The big thing is NFL guys look at the potential.
Yeah. At least for giving a guy a chance,
for an
opportunity.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk. And if you have some friends or family members that are interested in Notre Dame, then share this podcast with them, irishsportstalk.net, and check out the forums too if you want to join the conversations, talk about the playoff, talk about, of course, Notre Dame football, but even college football in general. Solon and Irish Don are pretty active over there, and it's fun to keep the discussion going, and we'll keep it going this, I guess it's not really the off season yet, but we're the bowl season and then the off season this winter.
I just thought we should start a bowl mania again. I'll see if I can get that set up. When do the bowl games start? I haven't even looked at the other bowls.
It's soon. Probably in... The first one, I think, is maybe like the 18th or 19th, usually.
We'll tweet it out.
I'm thinking it might be about 2 weeks after the seasons are done. But maybe it's a little bit longer than that. Okay, thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.